This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Who is this God of the universe who claims to be the Creator? What does He look like? Does He expect anything from us? Does humankind have an overriding, overall purpose that this God wants us to fulfill? These are questions mankind has asked and searched for answers to over the centuries. His efforts have resulted in a variety of different religions, advancing all sorts of concepts about who and what God is. Is it possible to understand who and what God is? And what about Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ really God? And is He really the Son of God as He claims? Stay with us as we endeavor to answer some of these questions on today's edition of The Armor of God.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Charles Gross.
Hello and welcome to the Armor of God. It's a pleasure to have this time with you today. We invite you to follow along, to get your Bibles if you have them handy, and to check with us on what we're going to be preaching to you about or teaching you about today. I'm going to begin reading here in John's account, John chapter 5, over in verse 32. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness to the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. And isn't that really the ultimate purpose of understanding Scripture, that we can be saved? But let's go on, verse 35. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. He says, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. They didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And I find verse 39 interesting. Search the scriptures, it says. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In other words, the scriptures that we're going to be talking about today give testimony to Jesus Christ. Some people don't believe that. Some people don't even believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They question the preexistence of Jesus Christ. Some believe that he was nothing more than just a good man, a rabbi, if you will, who was inspired on his own to teach principles that were eternal. There's all sorts of ways of looking at Jesus Christ and who he was and his relationship to us and to, as we read here, to the Father. As we read through those verses, those few verses, did you notice how he addressed God? He called him the Father. Now, just on the surface, this seems to be an uncomplicated subject, and yet it seems to get so confusing as people try to figure out who and what Jesus Christ is, was, or will be. And the reason why this is important to us is because what Jesus taught about our future is tied up in who he was and his relationship to the Father. So today I want to talk to you about who and what is Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ preexist? Was Jesus Christ the Son of the Father or not? Just who was he? To understand this, we're going to have to work our way through some of the little or few scriptures that deal with this subject that'll help us understand the principles that are sometimes very confusing. Now let me begin by taking you back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And this is a well-known verse to students of Scripture. And as you're turning there, I would like to just draw your attention to our offers today. We have two publications, two booklets. The first is Who, What is God? And then also the second booklet, which is is Jesus God or is Jesus really God? And these two are absolutely free of charge. All you have to do is call our toll-free number. And that toll-free number is 888, that's 1-888-578-8791. And we have operators standing by. If for some reason you get a busy signal, be sure to give us a call back, even into the early days of the week, and we'll be able to get that request followed on. And then if you are a computer person, why not use our website, www.cgi.org, and it'll put you into in touch with a number of our resources that are available on the website. And, of course, if you do choose to write us, we welcome that as well. We'll try to get back to you in writing or send the booklets that you would request. Now, request those two booklets. Is Jesus really God, and who and what is God, or who what is God? Now, let's come back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And this verse is used more times than any other to prove that there is only one God. Now, lest I confuse you, let me just state this. The Church of God International believes, based upon what we find in Scripture, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus Christ prayed to and sought the will and did the will of the Father. That the Bible reveals without question that there are two. But they make up, if you will, God or the God family. And for some reason that's confusing to people. They think, well, how can there be two gods if this Bible says there's only one God? And we'll try to answer that for you. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, let's begin reading in verse 1. Lest we forget what what we're told to do out of the Old Testament, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land which you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Now, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you might or may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. So here we're told that God is one God. So how do we make sense that Jesus Christ and the Father are two individuals, two persons, and yet they are the one God? I think it will help us to go back to the very beginning of the Bible. So if you will, turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll begin to sort through some of the language. You know, sometimes the Bible, if you just read on a little bit farther, gives you clues to understanding it rather than just taking an isolated verse and saying, well, I'm sort of confused by that, wonder what that means. Here we have an example of that, because notice what it says here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God, and the word in the Hebrew here is Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. Now, that is a word that is plural. Does it refer to one God that's referred to here, or is it open up the opportunity for more than one to be involved? And I think that's important if we understand, to come to the answering the question, who and what is God, and who is Jesus Christ? Was Jesus Christ just a man, or was he the Son of God? Let's read on here. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And then we find this language that's used here a little bit farther on about, it seems to be more than one. If you notice here in Genesis chapter 1, the language that's used in verse 26. Now, just laying aside any questions up to this point, what would you think about verse 26? God, Elohim, said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So, to understand what God refers to, the Elohim, it's identified by this plural pronoun of ours or us. That they, man, these special divine creations, are in our image. Now, that to me tells me that there was more than just one in the Godhead at that time. Now, some might find that a trifle bit offensive, and we don't mean to cause offense, but to raise legitimate questions, because some people really do believe that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. And the reason why this is important to us, if he wasn't the Son of God, then how are we going to have entrance into the kingdom of God? And how are we going to be saved? How are we going to repent of our sins, accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be born into his kingdom and into his family eventually? That's a fair question, absolutely. So let's begin to understand whether or not there is more, or the opportunity for more than one God to be referred to and referenced here in the Old as well as in the New Testament. I thought you might find this interesting out of the Dictionary of the Bible by William Smith. This is on page 220. He makes this comment. He says, the fanciful idea that it, the word Elohim, referred to the Trinity, his word in this occasion, not mine, the Trinity of persons in the Godhead, hardly finds now a supporter among scholars. It is either what grammarians call the plural of majesty, or it denotes the fullness of divine strength, the sum of the powers displayed by God. Now, it is true, then, that the word does not prove a plurality of persons in the Godhead, but the fact is it opens up that opportunity for that, in fact, to be true. And as we've seen here, we have these plural pronouns, which I think lend a little bit of weight. So there had to be two beings, at least more than one, otherwise you wouldn't use us or our. I think this verse, too, is a little bit insightful, if not instruction, here in Isaiah, instructive in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Isaiah 6 and verse 8, it says this, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Notice that, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? So if I were just reading through this, it would make me ask the question, well, who else was there? And I think we can find out beyond any shadow of a doubt who was there. That is going to be Jesus Christ, who was there with God the Father, the one that we would know to be Christ in the New Testament. Have you also thought about the fact that this usage of the word one, which is in the Shema that we talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, you remember that expression in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, I believe it is, where we're talking about Adam and Eve, and it says, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father, shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be what? One flesh. Two people representing a one concept. I think you understand that, don't you? Two people representing this one union, this one family, plural representing a singular. I just make that point because that helps me understand to some degree how it is that we can have two beings, the Father and the Son, who represent God. And that's the way it unfolds for us in Scripture. Now, let's take a look here in the New Testament to John chapter 1, verses that sometimes are confounding and yet they seem to be quite simple. Who, what is God? And how does Jesus Christ fit into this? John chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, who's the Word? The word here for this, the Greek word, is logos. So in the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God. And the word for God here is theos, T-H-E-O-S. And the logos was God. So who, what is God? Who is Jesus Christ? Without question, when we read through this, we'll find that Jesus Christ is in fact the reference, and that he is the Word, he is the Logos, and he was with God in the beginning. Notice verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. So we have the Word, who's referred to in verse 1, who was with God in the very beginning. Now, don't you find this interesting? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, I think that can be satisfactorily understood by saying that all things were made through God. And, of course, Jesus Christ was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. So here we have a direct reference to a logos, to the Word. We have a reference to theos, to God. What do we learn by this or from this? We learn that the Logos was with God. We also learn that the Logos was God. We see then that Christ was with God the Father, but he was God too. We find too that all things were made by or through him, meaning that both the Father and the Son were involved in creation. And then finally we learn that this agrees perfectly with those plural pronouns that we ran into and read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, where it said, "Let us make man in our image or in our likeness." Now, why is John writing this as we read the Gospel of John beginning in verse 1? I think he's writing to it or addressing this for much the same reason that I'm talking to you about today. And that is to offer you a means through the articles that we have made available, a means to sort through the confusion surrounding who and what is Jesus Christ and who and what is God. I want you to notice something here at the end of John's writings, John chapter 20, over in verse 31. Why did he write these things? Why did he talk about the Logos and the Word and this God or Theos? John chapter 20, over in verse 31, I might read verse 30. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written." All right. So these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And of course, that is very, very important. Now, let's come to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And I want to notice here, I want you to follow along in verse 22. He says here, "Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son." Now, there are individuals out there who would lay a disclaimer to that statement, some other reasoning around it, but yet one who feels that Jesus is not the Christ and that there is not the Father and the Son, both being God, if you will, it says that they're the Antichrist. They're preaching against Christ. "Whoso denies the Son, the same has not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you also, shall continue in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life." Now, that's pretty strong language, don't you think, in verse 22? Who is a liar? You know, you're telling something that's not true, or you're believing something that's not true. You're professing something that doesn't have any support in Scripture. John was standing against some of the heresies that existed in his time, and unfortunately some of those same concepts exist today, and you as a Christian need to be aware of that, lest you might fall into that trap of wondering, well, now, I wonder if there's any truth to this whole scheme of Jesus not being the Son of God, and is there forgiveness of sins? Do we have the opportunity to be in God's kingdom? Can we repent of our sins? Can we be forgiven? Can we accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Can we be different than we have been? Well, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it'll be difficult to understand the principles of salvation and repentance. No, I think that you need to understand what's ahead for you as an individual who is going to literally be one day in the image, much more so than you are now, of Jesus Christ and God the Father when he said, "Let us make them in our image." I want you to notice here in John chapter 3, John chapter 3 over in verse 13. And I was wondering, some of the writings of the Apostle John are extremely fascinating. They're very educational. But isn't it interesting that so many people today think that they have God figured out based upon interpretation, based upon cultural adjustments, based upon beliefs that they some another have come to accept and never challenged? The Bible says that no man has ever seen God nor heard his voice, and that refers to the Father, because obviously people have seen Jesus Christ and they've heard his voice, but no one has ever seen the Father nor heard his voice. So how is it that we think we've got all of this figured out on our own? The only way to figure this out is to take line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, and see how it all adds up and see what the Bible reveals about who, what is God. That brings me to John chapter 3 and verse 13, something else that many of us would find foreign, if not, well, maybe a little bit confusing. John chapter 3, notice this verse. It says, "No man has ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Now, the reason why I'm turning to this is, did Jesus Christ pre-exist? Well, if he didn't, then how do you explain verse 13? "No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Jesus Christ did pre-exist. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. What happened was his begettal and his conception and his birth, other than we can understand his birth, but how all that took place is really beyond our ability to understand, except to know that there was a tremendous miracle involved, and it represented the God of the Old Testament, who we came to see as Jesus Christ, being born of a woman, living in this earth, living on this earth, and living out a life, a very short life, and having died for our sins. It's an unbelievable plan if you take a look at what Jesus Christ did for us with the permission, approval, and certainly the pleasure in the sense that God was pleased with Jesus Christ and what he did and that he represented what their plan was so well. I must ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 3 now. And these verses are incredibly important to those of us who believe in God the Father and believe in Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Excuse me, verse 2. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear," and that will be the second coming, and the he refers to Jesus Christ, "that when Jesus Christ appears again, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And back to verse 31, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us," that's you and I, "that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it did not know Jesus Christ." We have the unbelievable opportunity to be part of the family of God. And if I may take this, all that we've talked about just briefly, and put it together, it can be represented in this. God is a family that presently consists of the God the Father and of Jesus Christ the Son. And we, the saints, you and I, the saints, are the children of God, and we have the privilege of calling God our Father. The saints are the heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The saints are Christ's brethren, and he is the firstborn among them. And yet, remarkably, the saints, they will be made like Christ at his coming. What to do? Well, that question was asked of Peter. The answer was rather clear. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, repent in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who and what is God? Who and what is Jesus Christ? He's our Savior, and he died for you, and you can be in the kingdom of God. You wear the armor of God. Stand strong in the day of temptation. We'll see you next week with another program.
Well, today's program certainly did challenge us once again. Charles Gross asked the question, who and what is God, and is Jesus Christ really God? Those are salient questions, especially for those of us who profess to be Christians. Jesus Christ is the central figure of history, the most famous individual who has ever lived. No one has had the impact on humanity and on society at large as Jesus Christ. The religion which bears his name actually has, when considered in total, the greatest number of adherents of any religion. Of course, he is also the central figure of the Holy Bible. And yet, hundreds of millions of people still question, and some even doubt, as to just who and what Jesus Christ is. Is he the Son of God? It's ironic, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself asked the question of his own disciples in Matthew chapter 16. We're told that Jesus said, well, who is it that they're saying that I am? And as a matter of fact, who do you say that I am? And the Apostle Peter supplied the answer. He said, well, you're the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, it's not so remarkable that Peter had come to that realization that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah, because Jesus did indeed fulfill the prophecies regarding Messiah from the Old Testament. But it was quite remarkable that Peter had tumbled to the fact that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. You see, at that point, only Mary and Joseph and the Lord himself, of course, and Peter and a few of the other disciples had realized by revelation that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God. But you ask the question, what does it mean to be the Son of God? Is that a figure of speech, or is he literally the Son of God in the way that we are the sons of our parents? Well, maybe I can explain it this way. My name is Hendricks. My father's name was Hendricks, and I'm the son of Hendricks, and I'm equally Hendricks with my father. I have two sons, and they also are Hendricks, and I'm not more Hendricks than they are, and they are not less Hendricks than I am. In the same way, Jesus Christ literally was and is the Son of God. As a matter of fact, the first chapter of Matthew tells us that a virgin would be with child and would bring forth a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel, which literally being interpreted means God with us. As a matter of fact, we have three books in the Bible which go into some detail to tell us in very explicit terms that Jesus Christ is the Creator. Not only is He God, but He's the one who did the creating. The first chapter of the book of John, the first chapter of the book of Colossians, and the first chapter of the book of Hebrews make it very clear that Jesus Christ is the one through whom, for whom, and by whom all things exist. There's another scripture that I think is very important to this subject, one that's often overlooked, and one that touches me emotionally. You'll remember that all the disciples had seen the Lord Jesus Christ after His resurrection, with the exception of Thomas. We've come to know him as Doubting Thomas. And Thomas said, "Oh, I won't believe the resurrection until I see Him and touch Him with my own hands." And of course, the Lord appeared to Thomas and the others in a locked room. And upon seeing the risen Lord Jesus Christ, Thomas gave the quintessential statement regarding the person of Jesus Christ when he said simply, "My Lord and my God." Well, friends, the Church of God International would like for you to understand this subject better. Consequently, we have some literature for you that we'd like to send to you free of charge. We'd like to send you the articles, "Who and What is God?" and "Is Jesus Really God?" Both can be yours absolutely free of charge if you'll call right now to our toll-free number, 888-578-8791. And don't forget to check us out on the web at www.cgi.org, and we'll see you right here next week.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.